Hey, brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it. Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a scorcher today, and I think it's going to be for a couple days. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was going to ask you, how was your Father's Day, but you're not quite a father yet.
No, I'm not a father.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that'll come in time.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so good morning to everybody, and welcome to, I think a segment that I really love, and I think in lieu of all the things that are happening, and to an old guy like me who, you know, never would have dreamt that there would be people like the gentleman that I'm getting ready to introduce you to, it's you know, very much satisfying to have a dialogue and a conversation with men and women like this. So I am honored beyond words to bring back Mr. Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Glad to be in your show. Thank you.
It's always great to have you on the phone lines. Let's talk a little bit first about who the Patriotic Millionaires are for those who are just joining us.
Well, sure. We've got hundreds of wealthy people, business people, and investors from all over the country. And we've basically created a group, and they all put in some money. We've hired a staff of 17 people. We're running like a public relations and press outfit, and we're helping those hundreds of people, rich people, business people, investors, speak out and explain that a country with a few rich people and everyone else struggling to get by is not good. It's not good for making money. It's not good for giving our children, and I have a grandchild, the country to grow up in and have opportunities like we had. And it's not what made America great. We need a country with most everybody getting by and having money to spend and helping our businesses grow. People that can, you know, pay for expensive ice cream and shoes and all the other things that helped us get rich. So that's what we are working on, to arrest this growth and inequality that's just destabilizing our nation.
You know, you're buttressing up against, people who have created that chasm that you're talking about. How's that work?
Well, I think the vast majority of people are actually on our side. But the few that are not, typically, they're people who make money from like extracting minerals from the earth and selling them. And they don't really care about the population and that lives around them. Those people have somehow made more noise and spend more time talking to congresspeople and senators and have somehow sort of convinced the whole country that, oh, if we have to pay taxes like you do, we'll, go on strike or something. Now, of course, you can't go on strike from being a rich person, but somehow they convince people, I don't know what they're going to do.
You know, sir, the tax code. And, I only know the tax code from the perspective of an average guy, an average Joe, who doesn't own a lot of stocks and doesn't own a lot outside of my home. And so I haven't accumulated a lot of wealth. And so, just making these tax payments that are mandatory for the average citizen, sometimes, we don't mind. We know we have to do it. Government costs money and we need government, but we only see it from the perspective of the average person. Tell us a little bit about it from the perspective of wealthy people.
Well, first of all, it's not that complicated. I can explain this pretty easily. People like you and Calvin get your paychecks, and every week or month or whenever, money is deducted from that paycheck and goes to pay taxes.
Yes, sir.
That's called income tax. And part of your income goes to pay taxes. And that's fine. Now, somebody who's already rich, the trick is, if you're already rich, you don't need to have income. I can just take money out of my brokerage account and spend it and live very well. And I assure you, I live very well. But I don't have any income. I don't have a job. I don't have anything for taxes to be deducted from. And the money I spend, that's not considered income. That's just withdrawing money from a brokerage account. So I don't have to pay any taxes at all. Now, I do pay taxes if I sell stock, and that exact stock that I sold, I had bought for a lower price earlier. That's considered income. There's just the profit, not all the money. But I don't have to do that. I can just not sell the stock and withdraw money anyway. And eventually, should I die, which most people do at some point, then the stock will get sold and there won't be any taxes in either because I'll be dead. So no one will ever pay any tax on all this money I've made that's accumulated in my stock brokerage account. And it's not like some complicated thing. It's actually the absence of anything. It's like, I don't have any income, so I don't have to pay any income taxes. It's that simple. And that's the main part of the problem. And even if I do sell some stock, which I occasionally do, and I make a profit, which I may do, even then I pay tax at a far lower rate than you do. My tax rates are zero up to about $100,000 a year. And 15% up to over $400,000 a year, which is a lower tax rate than most Americans pay, certainly any Americans who have a job that pays that much, who pay a much higher tax rate than I do, and 20% above that. And so it's not like there's some complicated loophole. It's that if you're already rich, you don't need to pay income taxes because you don't need any income. It's that simple. But some people are trying to change it. I went to Capitol Hill. I testified before the Senate Finance Committee. The chairman of the Senate Finance Committee sees this and is working to change it by taxing people and money they make in their stock brokerage account, even if they don't sell their stock. The president of the United States has proposed laws to change this. So I think, depending on how the election goes in November, if people vote for people that want to make changes, changes might be made. We'll have to see.
Well, you know, the first thing is we have to get this information out to people, because I knew nothing about what it is you just talked about. The only people who know about that are the wealthy. And I mean, for the most part. And so, you know, the tax code exists in a manner that it does because politicians have made it that way. The tax code didn't come out of the clear blue. People came up with the tax code, and unfortunately, we live in a time when, unfortunately, some of our elected officials are controlled by people who have a lot of money. We vote them into office, and then they wind up not doing the bidding of the average person. They couldn't get in office if it wasn't for the majority of the people, sir. And yet they don't do the bidding of the majority of the people.
That is sadly true. I don't think it's like, I think controlling might be too strong a word.
Okay.
But I think these guys.
Well, you can sanitize it, but go ahead.
Okay. I think these guys who are in office, they spend all of their time in little rooms, making phone calls, asking for donations, and chatting with people. I talk with people every day who are running for Congress and many who are in Congress. And we are, I have plenty of time to explain to them whatever is bothering me. And after a while, since they only talk to people already rich who can make $1,000 donations and $3,000 donations, after a while, they kind of think, oh, it's so inconvenient. These people have to pay taxes. We have to solve their problems. And those are the problems I hear about, are the inconveniences of the rich people. And that's what they think about. And after some years or decades, they kind of forget about everyone else. And that's part of the problem. But I think if the voters remind them, then we can see some changes. But you have to remember to vote based on what the people are going to do, not on, I don't know, how tall they are, or whether they're yell louder or bullying or spend more money on more TV commercials or whatever.
Well, you know, as an ordinary, everyday American, it's more than frustrating to me that these people that we're talking about, these elected officials, would not have a chance to sit down and dialogue with you and others in your position if we didn't put them in office. And so the fact that they forget us is a calumny. And it's what I talk about almost on a daily basis, that just voting for somebody and putting them in office without following what it is they are doing is what puts us in the situation that we are in.
And the other day, sitting right here in front of me at this very table, was a person running for office from a district nowhere near here. And I said to them, like, isn't it a problem that you're traveling a long ways to my office to talk to me instead of talking to the voters? You're actually trying to get to vote for you. And yeah, it's true, but that's what they end up doing, is they need to talk to donors and get more campaign donations. And that's part of the problem that we have to change. We need campaign finance reform too.
All right. 844-967-2489 is the number. My guest is Mr. Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires, How the Tax Code Benefits Wealthy People Over Working People. And Tony has a question when we come back. Mr. Pearl, is a wealth tax the solution? 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires. And so before we went to break, Mr. Pearl, I was telling you about a text message that I received from Tony. And he responded, is a wealth tax the solution?
Well, I think, frankly, yeah. Somebody like you, who, if you own a house and you live in Wisconsin, you pay a wealth tax on almost all of your wealth, because most of your wealth is
in my house. Right.
So you already pay a wealth tax. Me, I live in a co-op apartment here in New York. I do pay some taxes through the co-op. Is real estate taxes, but the vast majority of my assets are not taxed in any kind of wealth tax. So yeah, since rich people don't have any income, they don't pay income tax. And you know, we've seen that demonstrated. Mr. Bezos, Mr. Musk are some of the richest people in the country.
Right.
They knowingly at all some years. Yes, we need to tax either wealth or unrealized capital gains, which is more or less the same thing. So, yeah, I think something like that is the answer. Not a wealth tax in every middle-class homeowner across the country. They tried that in France. It was not very popular. But as the Oligarch Act is proposed by Congressman Barbara Lee and some of the others, a 2%, that starts with a 2% wealth tax on wealth over 1,000 times the median household wealth. Median household wealth is about $190,000 now. So that would mean taxing wealth at 2% above $190 million of wealth. So your 191st million dollars, you'd pay $20,000 of wealth tax on, and so on and so forth. It would go up if even higher amounts of wealth. And that will make a difference. It'll take a while, but over time, that will even out things. Most billionaires now are not billionaires because they're entrepreneurs and built businesses and stuff. More billionaires are billionaires because of something their parents or grandparents did. And there's no reason why they should not pay some tax on the money they make by inheriting money, which is far more than the money that you make by actually working for a living.
So if you're just joining us, my guest is Mr. Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires. And sir, you know, so looking at the conditions that exist in this nation right now for the average American, as you know, you see that people are struggling, they can't afford groceries, and for the most part, and the elderly who've worked their entire lives, subsistence solely on a small Social Security check that they get. Those wealthy people in this nation, do they have any idea of what is happening to the masses of the American people and the struggle that they go through? Because if we're talking about even raising their taxes just a modicum, it would certainly make a major difference in the lives of many Americans. Why are they not willing to even consider that?
Well, I think some are and some aren't. You know, we've gotten hundreds of people together in our Patriotic Millionaires now. A few right. hundred is not a big part of the country.
Right.
But the point is that only a few people on both sides are actually active and working on this and talking on the radio and going on your show and talking to reporters and speaking at events and things like that. And so our few hundred can make as much noise, hopefully, as the small number on the other side who are kind of pretending they represent all of Americans and whatnot because they have so much money. They can buy so many TV commercials and even buy radio stations and TV stations. They kind of pretend that they are America when really they're a tiny number of people who are actually short-term greedy and not even that smart in many cases because they themselves and their children and grandchildren, I contend, would be better off if we did not have this gross inequality. I don't want to live in a country like a banana republic or, you know, you and I are both old enough to remember South Africa in the 1980s. That did not end well for the rich people. So we want to make some changes in our country. I've seen people marching in the streets. And I mean, there's a lot of reasons and people have a lot of reasons for protesting. But part of the brute cause is so many people feel like they're being treated like second-class citizens. We have to change that because our country is just becoming unstable.
So why do you think, Mr. Pearl, that the average American is looking at a guy like Donald Trump and he's talking about giving even more tax cuts to you? And they say, yeah, that's the guy I want. I'm supporting him.
I think they're not even thinking about taxes. I think they're thinking of, I want, you know, this guy, we need more of a bully. We need someone who will like, that's what they're thinking is, we're being attacked and we want someone who will, I don't even know what they want done exactly, but they want someone who will like bully other people, Whereas, frankly, a lot of people on the Democratic side are sort of trying to be thoughtful and sort of, well, there's this and there's that and there's something else. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi used to say, well, you know, we'll see a fork on the table and say, oh, we have to talk about forks and what they're made of and what this and that and the other thing. And then the Republicans, the Democrats are going to tax your forks. You better vote for Republicans, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many details. And I think that somebody like Donald Trump can just say, oh, some, you know, your problem is being caused by black and brown people coming over the border, and I'm going to send people to shoot them. And they'll vote for that. They'll vote for that. You know, the biggest issues in the election, you know, frankly, in some place are Mexican immigrants. And those places are Montana and Idaho, where there are very few Mexican immigrants along the Canadian border in rural areas. But they're afraid. They're told, oh, someone's coming to take your jobs or marry your daughters or I don't know what they're going to do. Make you eat tacos for lunch. And somehow they decide that, oh my God, we've to do something about it. I better vote Republicans to keep the Mexicans out of our country.
Mr. Pearl, I enjoy having this dialogue with you. I relish it. It goes by too fast.
Thank you.
All right. We will see you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's Mr. Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So it's so refreshing to have, you know, a man like Morris Pearl and the Patriotic Millionaires on the airwaves. Because where else, you know, are you hearing that outside of, you know, civic media? You know, people who have and are blessed to live a great life, who know that there are other people, you know, on the planet with them. Too often, you know, we're worried about those average people like us, Calvin. They're worried about Elon Musk. Oh, Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire. And so people, oh, yeah, I'm excited about Elon Musk. Why are you even concerned about Elon Musk? He doesn't care one iota about you. And his wealth, certainly, he's not willing to share it to change your reality. Not alone, but it just is amazing to me that we've got people, the same thing with Donald Trump. Well, they, oh, you know, Donald Trump, He's a billionaire. And so, you know, Donald Trump, and they're mistreating Donald Trump. What is wrong? Why are we wasting our time and breath and energy with somebody who could care less about us? Let's go to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I thought that this gentleman was just on point in everything. And myself, I grew up poor, as you know, and I still give back to the community, and I don't mind paying taxes. I work a part-time job. I pay those taxes. I don't get those taxes back. And I just think that we need to pay taxes so we have good schools, good roads. We can take care of people who need help. And that is part of being a patriot. I don't see these people as patriots. I actually see these people as traitors to the American dream and to America. Because we are all one people. We have always been all one people. We seem to have forgotten that. It's not the poor against the rich. It's not the Republicans against the Democrats or the conservative people against the liberals. We are the United States of America. And as we grow, as we become one person, this whole country will continue to survive. What they're doing now is separating us. And we're getting angry at each other because of whatever our views happen to be. But if we get together, if we form that bond, that love of one another, they will not destroy this nation. And that's what we have to get back to, is loving one another for who we are. Because when we do that, we reach in and we bring our brightest and our best, and we do our best for everyone. Hey, and that's all I have to say.
Hey, Susan, you said a mouthful. Thank you very much for those words. United States of America. You know, I talked about this last Friday. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. No, we don't. You know, not today. You know, the United States of America is an oxymoron. You know, where are the states united in this country? Blue states, red states. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always, and happy Motown Monday to you and your family.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
You know, I couldn't help it but think of the Pledge of Allegiance and, you know, the words of the Pledge of Allegiance. And I wonder if MAGA is even capable of reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Sure, it sounds a little hokey and a little, you know, simplistic, but, you know, I think in the keep it simple, silly era that we're in, you know, I would insist upon not only all candidates having to sign off and support a certified election, but I'd also require them to take the Pledge of Allegiance, the oath, put their hand on the Bible in front of the world. And then we hold them accountable to those words of the Republic and for which it stands in, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Those things mean a lot to most of us, but apparently it doesn't mean much to the MAGA crowd. And finally, you know, if we don't inject a good dose of civics at all levels in our public schools, I think we're going to miss it. I think the infrastructure of a democracy certainly includes scholastic and curriculum that supports it. And I'm fully convinced that if the peeps were fully involved and committed to civics, we'd have most of these problems solved in no time, and we would be in a more perfect union today.
As I brought this up last week about the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, pledging allegiance to the nation, not to a man. When you pledge allegiance to a man who's fallible, right? All men are fallible. But if that's who you pledge your allegiance to, you've already kind of gone against what the Pledge of Allegiance was created for. Pledge of Allegiance. You know, you're pledging your allegiance to a person who is finite. All of us are finite. We're passing away. So when you look at a man and you say, this is my man, Donald Trump, and I'm going to, you know, whatever it takes, if he doesn't win, I'm going to wreck the nation. Hey, Mike, you can't say that you agree with the Pledge of Allegiance, right? There's no way.
You can if you're on the right way.
On a spectrum. If you're on the spectrum.
You can if you have Fox News and Newsmax and all these other shill media groups out there. You can say whatever you want. And all they'll do is gaslight it through. You know, which is another half of the problem. When we no longer require the media to have a fiduciary responsibility to be the fourth estate, to be the watching, the watchers, and reporting to the people what we need to know. When that changed, so did the landscape of America. So, you know what? It's complex for sure, but it really isn't. If we talk about it, we talk things through, we can recognize the who, what, when, where, why, how we got here. And from there, you know, if we all accept our responsibility, our civic responsibility, we can solve these things. And it's very, very easily done.
We
just have to get our thinking caps on, I think.
You know, Mike, when you have headlines like this, "We'll hunt you. Trump MAGA supporters' violent rhetoric isn't a glitch. It's a feature. The Republican Party has been overtaken by a movement that tolerates and sometimes celebrates extremism as long as that extreme helps or supports Donald Trump." No, you know, words have ever been spoken that point out where we are. And so, you know, I know the MAGA people say they don't like, you know, us talking about them, and you put us in a different light. You're always, you know, talking about us in the negative. How are we supposed to? What kind of light are we supposed to put people in, Mike, who support a man who has clearly stated what his intentions are for this nation? I'm sorry. You know, you and I know what his intentions are, and I think anybody who can hear knows what his intentions are. How are those intentions good for the nation, Mike?
Yeah, well, it's a Monday morning, but I can still answer that clearly. It's not. There is nothing. The behavior in this, in Project 2025, in all the, what the RNC espouses on a daily basis, there's nothing parallel with the Founding Fathers and the Federalist Papers, much less the U.S. Constitution. There's been very little, really deep conversations across America. It's only been in pockets. The messages, by and large, that I hear when I'm going across the state in some of the small towns, they're all that the Democrats are going to blow up the nation. They're going to take your guns. They're They're taking away your freedom. All these doom and gloom. It's beyond just politics, dirty politics. It's assassinations.
Yes.
Character assassinations and outright lies. That's completely different. So I would, if I had a magic wand, I would find a libel or a slander or some type of a law and go after these media groups that are allowed to spread this toxicity and BS each and every day as a business model, not as an aberration or an occasional guest or an opposing view. No, this is what they do. So to me, this is a Congress issue. This is something where it is time to, you know, stand up and be counted or sit down and be quiet. One or the other.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call as always. Listen, so last week, a Fort Worth man was charged with threatening an FBI agent who was reportedly involved in a federal gun case against Hunter Biden. The son of President Joe Biden was convicted on 3 gun charges. But the Texas man, 43-year-old Timothy Miller, was apparently unsatisfied, leaving a voice message on an FBI agent's phone falsely, claiming, according to the charging document, you covered up child pornography. That's nonsense, of course, but Miller allegedly went on to say, you can run, but you can't effing hide. According to the criminal complaint, Miller said Trump will win the election and then we're going to blank, go through the FBI and just start throwing you blanks into jail, or you can steal another election and then the guns will come out and we'll hunt you blank down and slaughter you like the traitorous dogs you are in your own effing homes. If your own effing beds, the last thing you'll ever hear are horrifying shrieks of your widow and orphans, and then you know what we're going to do. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. There's never any harm listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, in the 12th of never. Anyway, I was talking a little bit about, you know, Donald Trump and Republicans who know that there are people amongst them who are saying these kinds of things. And as horrible as these things are, and the threats that are being made, you know, the fact that there's no pushback from Republicans about this kind of rhetoric, that's a tough read. But I'd argue it's important to pay attention because that kind of violent rhetoric has become far too common in MAGA circles. Not everyone who supports Trump is like that, not even close. But as we've seen from Trump's own menacing rhetoric and from his promise to pardon the violent January 6 rioters who are rightfully sitting in prison, violence and threats are not shunned in the MAGA movement, and are rarely condemned. Trump's right. Milwaukee is a horrible city. It's hosting a convention crowning a felon. There are plenty of kind and sensible conservatives out there, but a large swath of the Republican Party and its leadership have been overtaken by a movement that tolerates and sometimes celebrates extremism as long as the extremism helps or supports Donald Trump. CJ, you're up.
Well, good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, there are extremists on both sides of the aisle, but isn't it appropriate, ironic, on Motown Monday, who went into the center of Motown and 180 Church, and they celebrated him coming there? It was Donald J. Trump. And they celebrated him being there because they've been forgotten. Your party just takes it for granted, the black vote, the black community, and the promises. And I watched it on C-SPAN, and the promises that have been made by the Democrats for the black community for 40 years. And finally, help is on its way.
Hey, CJ, let me ask you, if you watched it on C-SPAN, as I did, for that to be considered a black church was absolutely not a black church. There are more white people in the church than black. And if you think what I'm saying is not true, look, check it out. So you can come on here this morning and mislead people like Donald Trump and others that this was a black church filled with black people. And that's an absolutely fabrication. That's an absolute fabrication. The majority of the people in that church were white. And you saw specks of black faces in the church, CJ. Why didn't you mention that?
Well, the church, the pastor, Earl, is black.
I'm talking about the congregation. I'm not talking about a black face in a church that's the majority of it is white, and then saying that this was a black church. That's not true. So go ahead.
Percentages, but us white people still care about the black community, Earl. And you want to demean the numbers, that's okay. But the mere fact is your party has abandoned the black community and lied to them.
Hey CJ, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You know, when people, you know, don't want to tell the truth and speak facts, and then they get exposed with the truth, you know, well, you know, and then they change the story. But go ahead, Brendan.
I love how you can pull any kind of optic BS you want with MAGA people, and they buy right into it. First of all, let's go back to Mr. Trump and his non-racist past. How about when his father and him wouldn't rent to black and brown families their properties? How about the Central Park Five that after they were found innocent,
exonerated,
finally, after spending years in jail, he still was calling for the death penalty for them.
Right.
How about the fact that he took Obama and did the whole birther thing with Obama because he didn't like the fact he was president? This guy is so, you know, the MAGA people will latch on to any optic BS they throw out there at them. And it's just hysterical.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much for the call, Brendan. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. You know, look at C-SPAN. Look at the people who were in the church. And they can, you know, well, you know, Donald Trump was at an all-black church and they were cheering him on. And come on, man. That's, you know, I'm going to be kind and say it's fiction because it's a Motown Monday. You know, you catch me on the right day, I'm going to call it a little something else. but you know, come on, man. You know, I don't know. Maybe you have to be blind to see what CJ was trying to espouse. But they're not going to let him, you know, just flat out lie. And that's exactly what he was doing. 844-967-2789 is the number. We're going to be joined by Reed McCollum, Progressive Turnout Forward Project, an amazing, amazing organization that's doing some great work in voter turnout across this nation on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.